Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for coming. As you've heard, ministry to the prisons is a little different. It's different to the churches, because most people that come to our churches are aware already of the Lord, more or less the polity of the church, how it functions, and so you're a shepherd of the church. As chaplains, we go into the prison as frontline ministers. So anybody that comes to us is not necessarily going to be a Seventh-day Adventist. He could be Catholic, he could be Protestant, he could be any of those things. He could be Buddhist, he could be Muslim. It's okay. He could be Muslim. But the difference is, one of the things that we would do is ask them what tradition they are, if they would like to speak to us. And even getting in a Muslim, an imam would take time. So in the meantime, guess who they have? And so one of the things we can talk about across all of the different faiths is faith. What is faith? However, for this particular program that we're doing this week, it is a certification course. So if you come through for most of the week, you will end up having an ID card and a certificate. You'll have your own particular number. In fact, I'll pass this around. It just sort of tells you what would happen. I'll just pass it around, and you know, that can come back. And then what will happen is that you will now have the basic information, the basic tools to minister in the prison. So then in terms of the Alberta Conference, you're not only logged in, but under risk management, you've been trained. So you know more or less what you're doing. But even though you get this particular training, you would still take the security training for each prison you go in, because every prison is different. So whether it's minimum, medium, maximum, or a supermax, the character of the prison is different. And so they're going to have something that's going to be different. That's why you need to hear it. But anyway, as we begin this journey, I'm also going to pass this around. If you can just sign yourselves in. What I thought I would do today is, the first thing that I would do is breaking the cycle. First of all, why do we have people in prison? That's the issue. So I just want to step back in time for a little bit, just to talk about some of the things that's taken place that is causing major issues for our young people. And not only for our young people, but for us at the other end of the scale, sometimes we sit and we say, what's wrong with you guys? And they'll look at us and say, but you don't get it. But let's see where it all came from. Okay? So I am with the Alberta Conference. I'm the coordinator for prison ministries, and I sit on the committee for community and disaster. So what I'm now doing from the conference, I'm now in the community as a community reintegration chaplain. So long words, community, the things we can do in the front line in the community, and then in terms of reintegration, well, for many of the people I see here, you've raised children, you've been away from the workforce, and now you're coming back into the workforce. We assist you. Those are the people coming into the country for the first time. That wouldn't be reintegration, but that would be integration. And of course, those people who have been incarcerated as well. So we want to be able to have them reintegrated properly into society so they don't reoffend again. So, in John chapter 12, verse 32, it tells us straight, Jesus, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Wonderful statement, but we're living in a society now where they don't want to hear the words of Jesus anymore. They want to stifle us. But then how do you go in and lift up the word of God? Again, this is everything geared for prison ministry. So going in as somebody wanting to minister for God, you want to be able to come and tell them everything about the church. But initially when you go in, you're going in to talk about the good news of Jesus, to give them hope, to give them a peace, to give them an understanding that though they've done many things that cause them to go in, there is still a compassionate, loving God that is willing to reach down and touch if they're willing. Huh? But as we go on, the fact is, there is God's plan, and then there's man's plan. So that's one of the reasons why we will go in and talk about the good news. And one of the things they're going to find out from being who we are is that when we pray, for some traditions, they're going to pray. So they've got to get a book, and they've got to read the prayer. And they'll see you pray extemporaneously, and they'll say, well, how did you do that? But you're teaching them not only a friendship, but a relationship with God. Okay, this young generation, and this is where you're going to hear a lot of statistics for today, it is the most finest generation, the most media illiterate generation. In fact, I thought I was going to have to flag down one of the young people to get me started, but Pastor Daria was able to help me. They know computers even when they're this small. You got an issue, just take out your smartphone or your laptop or your iPad, they will get it through for you. It is the most intellectual generation. When we were younger, we went to school and we would have to go through encyclopedias to learn. Now, you can get on the internet and you can get it at the flick of a finger. They know it. It is a stronger and more mature generation. It's more rounded and grounded with a good knowledge base. They're genetically and biologically more advanced than we were at that time. Well, how can this be? How can this be? Let's go on. But the paradox is, even though they know all these things, the paradox is they're the most destructive generation. The question is why? They are the most self-destructive and hold the most created statistics. And again, because of technology, everything is there in terms of statistics. In our generation, we don't have it. We'll just go by those that can remember, but it's not documented. We go on. Let's state some of the facts. Teen violence is up 186% in the last 10 years. One in 16 teenagers are assaulted. So we think we have them safe at home, but they go out. They want to belong. Sometimes they say we have too many rules. So they go out, they meet in a group, and now that group becomes a gang. And they realize, I should have listened to what mom and dad was telling me, you know? But here it is. Suicide is the second leading cause of death between 15 and 24-year-olds. Remember, we're talking about breaking the cycle today. So these are the stats. Alcohol and the related deaths is the leading cause of death, and that would be due to alcohol poisoning. 73% of them drink by the age of 17. We say, but none of our kids do it. Are you sure? Let's talk about girls for a moment. The number two suicide leading cause of death. All right. Number two is suicide. Number one is the ultimate act of violence. And it's usually date rape, crisis pregnancies, post-abortions. And of the suicides, 69% of them will have teenage abortions. One in three will be criminally assaulted before they die. What happened here? It's overlapped. I don't know why it's overlapped. But 80% of the girls that do drink, the reason is, you ask them, why do you drink? Well, technically, I'm not a drinker, but I just need to relax. And most of those people will drink, it's because their boyfriend drinks. So they want to feel inclusive, included. For boys, the leading cause of death is, for the 21-year-olds, 10 to 15-year-olds has quadrupled in the last 20 years. One in four are committing date rape. One in four. And we're thinking it's outside the church. It's happening in the church as well. That's what we need to understand. That it is the heaviest for the boys. It's the heaviest drinking generation because their homies do it. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to be a part of the bigger group. So, the birth. And now this is where we got to point the finger at ourselves. In the 1960s and 70s, it was the first generation of void. What do I mean by void? Can you remember back then? All right, let's go on. We decided to move the ethical and moral standards to the left. It was, remember now, do your own thing. Look out for number one. Do you remember those records? They were out there. It moved away from the community thinking to now individualism. If you feel good, the record says, do it. And it started the sexual revolution. Who can remember that? John and Yoko Ono, remember that? The loving. Do you remember that? It was happening. But you don't know the influence it had on the on us. The girls continued. They were recipients of the sexual revolution. 20 years ago, believe it or not, there were only two venereal diseases. Only two. And both were curable. 20 years later, 51. 51. And two of them will most definitely kill you. Herpes, there are now seven types, all incurable, and all will pass down to the baby. And chlamydia, months before known, and it scars the fallopian tubes. But this was over music. It's over what everybody else was doing. They wanted to take care of number one. If it feels good, do it. But that was us. Individual rights. It says, the good of the one outweighs the good of the many. And that's counter to the Bible. It's counter to the Bible. Number two, the right. The right outweighs the rights of the many. And now what's happening is, our age, we're now leaders in politics. And guess what happens? It still comes down. In the 1960s, it was the hippie movement. You were turning on and tuning out. That was the smoking of the marijuana, huh? Call it what you want. It started the drug revolution. What came next? First time in history of civilized nation, we had white supremacist groups. We had heritage fronts. And when we start to understand later on, all the things that are taking place in the prison, we will find that they have different groups within the prison. The prison is a whole world with its own vernacular. It's a whole different world. It translates into recruiting hatred. Whether you're Jew or color or race or gender, high schools are rioting with hatred. In fact, I would sooner be a chaplain, believe it or not, in the prison than to be a teacher in some of the schools, because you don't know what's coming in the schools. There's a lot of things happening in the schools. When I go into prison, they've already been frisked. There's nothing happening. I just come and show up with Lord and talk about the goodness of Jesus. But look at it. Assaults on each other, causing death. So, you're either a part of the problem or you're a part of the solution. You're going to see this a couple of times. You're either a part of the problem or a part of the solution. So the question is, what are you prepared to do? As you listen to it, remember, this is all about breaking the cycle. This is what is taking place now. So we need to be able to stand up and make a difference. It's no use looking to the politician or looking to the pastor or looking to your next door neighbor. It starts with me and it starts with you. In the 60s generation, the debate, lawmakers, remember we said that the people now who went through it are now lawmakers. They're politicians. They're making the laws. Lawmakers are wondering how to stop the trends. But it may impact, look at this, the individual's freedom of speech. It's come to the point where we need to put our foot down and say, thus saith the Lord. Period. End of story. That's what we need to go back to. But here it is. individual freedom and speech. There's an impact. Everyone has their rights. Whether it's right with God or not. Uh-oh.
It's okay, it switched.
It did switch, okay. Meanwhile, look at this. Kids are collecting and exchanging. You know, when we were younger, we would have cards for hockey players and football players. Do you know what they do now? Oh. They're collecting serial cards of murderers. Murderers. And it's big. That's what they want. But again, what did we say? You're either a part of the problem or a part of the solution. The deadliest, and this is the big one now, the deadliest thing that it impacts us today is the media. It's designed to make money. Anyway, anyhow. And we talk about, as Adventists, well, you got to be careful of what you put into your mouth. We go to Leviticus chapter 11, you know, and we look at all the things we're not supposed to eat. But let me tell you about food going in. What goes into the eyes is eaten. What goes in the ears is eaten and digested by the body. Let me tell you, not just the food. So we go back. The love of money. What does it say? Well, finish it. The love of money is the root of all evil. The media is a multi-billion, not million anymore, multi-billion dollar industry. 30 seconds of advertising equals billions of dollars. Just 30 seconds. Especially when you got the football game or the hockey game or whatever game's going on. Everyone's going to tune in. Nobody wants to go to church. But they'll tune in to the hockey. The generation has the highest disposable income. This generation. More shaped and more sophisticated. Okay. Advertising facts. It's designed to create desires in your mind. See how Satan is smart? You know, our children might not go down to the communal area and do things in the open. But he sneaks in through your iPads, smartphones, computers, televisions, movies. And he's making these suggestions. Ever so slight. There you go. Nothing to say. Nothing to say. You might as well say, Satan was caught with his trousers down. That's just it. You know? Manipulates the desires into needs. So the desire is first in your mind. And then when you internalize it, remember, you're eating it. And what does it do? Manipulates the desires now. Oh, I need it. In fact, one of these popular stores, what is it? It used to be... they changed the name to The Source.
Radio Shack.
That's now The Source. And in the advertisement is, I want that. I want that. So they're just giving it. And they're happy to give you a credit card. Just take as much as you want. As much as you want. I want that. Young people. 15,000 to 22,000 hours is television watching. Did you hear that? 15,000 to 22,000 hours. And by the age of 7 years, that's approximately 5,000 hours. You'd be surprised. The comparison. Graduates in high school, 10,000 hours in the classroom, you would have 360,000 hours of commercials. 100,000 hours would be towards girls, and clothing and cosmetics. Are you listening? 100,000 hours is what to drink. So no wonder, you know, the young people will say, well, no, I don't drink. Come on, you're a cow, you're a chicken. You're not a man. You got to try it before you can kick it. Yeah? But that's pressure. 400,000 acts of violence. 40,000 murders by the age of 18. And it says more violence than if you were in If you're a soldier in the Vietnam War, you've got to think about that for a minute. That's a lot. It's equivalent of having more violence than a soldier if they're at war. We go on. And remember, we're looking to break the cycle. Breaking the cycle. The examples then. Advertising income. There's the show. Home Improvement. You know that one? Home Improvement. $850,000 for 30 seconds. You know, he talked about a few little things, but that's one of the milder ones. Super Bowl. $1.25 million for 30 seconds during Super Bowl. So that if you wanted to advertise during that program, that's what you'd be paying. For the Super Bowl, $1.25 million. Seinfeld. Everybody knows Seinfeld. $1.5 million for 30 seconds. And look at this one. Married with Children equals $450,000 for 30 seconds. It ran for 14 years, 6 days a week, 2 times a day. And if you know the program, it's a derogatory program. It put down women. In fact, it's going to go on. It's going to tell you what it did. Married with Children. The mother is depicted as a piece of meat. Stupid and ignorant. Wears tight, revealing clothing. She has no self-respect as a mother or as a woman. But here it is. That's on the show. Look outside and we see how we dress. Is there a similarity? There's a similarity. Let's go on. We're finding now that, well, we'll do that one afterwards. Married with Children. Boys are depicted as a drooling moron. Why is he drooling? Because he wants everything fast and easy. He wants the pleasures of life. Uses teenage schools for sex in order to become a real man. Isn't that sad? But that's the reality of what's happening in front of our very eyes. Satan has walked right through the front door and he's sitting on the couch in front of the TV and he's bringing everybody to watch it. And let me tell you, there's some things on the TV that, I'm telling you now, if my mother was in there, I get up and I leave. It's embarrassing. I remember that growing up. Just to even talk about the bra. You never saw a person wearing a bra. You may see the box. And they would talk about it. But they were covered. Today, it's all kinds of stuff. The girls. Depicted as what? The ultimate tramp. Why? She uses men every day. Married or single. Supposed to be ultra stupid. No morals, no value, and in terms of ambition, check this out. Work as a waitress and have kids from the total rock band or football team. I'll stay silent for a moment. That's the reality. Come into the prison and speak to some of the young people. Because now the young people are coming in, they might be too young to go into the main prison, the adult prisons. So they go into places in Calgary, they call it the Calgary CYOC. Calgary young offenders, and they're younger, and some of them, when they're too old to be there by 17, 18, they come up to the adult system. And you've got Edmonton young offenders. Oh, they're there, and they're four. Did you know anorexia? Everybody knows anorexia. Everybody wants to look slim because the models are slim. And all the clothes that they show on TV is for the slim people. The number one medical problem with teenage girls. Being defined by what is on the outside of them. Rather than what's on the inside. Some of them will sit down. They're starving. They're eating the meal. And then you're going to see them in the bathroom. Doing the up chop. Trying to get rid of it. It's impossible to live up to what they're seeing on television, but they continue to do it. Even the models themselves are sick. They're doing the same thing, so they read up on them. Because now you can tweet everything, and in this tweet business, what I did, what I ate, where I went. Anyway, much more than that. All because of advertising. Another paradox. Remember, we're talking about the young generation. And where do they get it from? Us. It's us. Our generation. This same generation would send money to save 1 acre for the rainforest. They will send money to starving children overseas. They will even send money to adopt a child program. They will do that. But, revisited, 20 years ago, it was 1 in 7 for date rape before they graduated high school. 10 years ago, it was 1 in 5. Now, 2 years ago, and this is about 2 years old, 1 in 4 are going to be date rape before they go finish high school. 1 in 4 boys are doing the date rape. In fact, I'll just do an aside for a moment. I was called by a parent. I did. I showed this at one of the churches, and they wanted me to speak to the young people. But it would behoove me to speak to the young people without speaking to the adults. You've got to be able to speak to the adults as well as the young people, so we're on the same page. Afterwards, a young lady, well, a mother came to me. She's got 2 boys. And she says, "Oh, Pastor, I need to speak with you. Could you speak to my boy? Nobody else can speak to him. And here he is, at the age of 14, is now being charged with a criminal act at 14. 14. They're there. It says, remember, these are your sisters, your girlfriends, your wives, even your daughters we're talking about. And the thing is, we're so busy keeping up with the Joneses. We're so busy taking care of 2 jobs that our children have become latchkey kids. Who's raising them? So we come in, we're tired. Dinner's not really made, so we don't have the meal around the table. We don't ask, well, how was your day today? How was school? How's your homework? Let's check your homework. It's not there anymore. Most of the kids, the Columbine shooting that happened in the States, we've had our own issues in our schools. They're in their rooms, and it's, you can't come in my room, Mom and Dad, because it's private. And guess what? You pay the mortgage, you pay the hydro, you pay the gas, and you can't go in the room. They've got their computer, and you can't check the computer. In fact, if you go one step more, in school, they've been told that, well, most children, if you ask them, children have been given a 1-800 number. If they're having issues at home, they call the 1-800 number. And people will be there to come and speak to mom and dad as to why they can't do what they want to do. So if you've got a 14-year-old boy and he wants to stay up past maybe 10 o'clock to watch Baby Blue movies, you have no right in telling him he can't. This is the society today. But let's move on. It says if you're a part of the problem, you've got to be either part of the problem or part of the solution. And hopefully by the time we finish this segment, you'll be able to make a decision where you're going to stand. Yes? Let's move on. Women of the paradox. Now, here it comes now. We're coming closer to home. 80 years ago, women could not own their own business. They couldn't vote. They couldn't be a lawyer or a doctor. They couldn't go to college or university. 80 years ago. Women of paradox continued. Yet women are the greatest group of followers. Now, I'm not speaking as a male chauvinist. This is all statistics. All statistics. So it's not Oliver saying this. 93% of women that drink is because their boyfriends drink. Remember I told you that before? But it's 93%. 87% who don't drink is because their boyfriends don't drink. Does that make sense? It goes on. The bond of friendship has become greater than the family. Mom and dad, you just don't understand. You don't understand is what they're going to tell you. But do we understand if we're not taking the time to listen? If we're not taking the time to be genuine? Because respect runs up and downhill. You got true love. As I give marital counseling, love is built on, I've called it five things. Respect, honesty, sincerity, trust. And with those four in equal parts, it's mixed in the mortar of unity. That only sets the foundation. The love is built on the sound foundation. If any one of those are missing, you don't have a relationship. Does that make sense? Let's move on. Women apparently... Oh, we went that way. Part of the solution. Are we going back or are we going forward? What's... Okay. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't know what I'm doing. Hang on, let's just go. We were down here. Anorexia. Was it that one? Yeah, we did that. The solution. Okay, paradox. I don't know what happened. Okay. Why are friends more than family? My parents don't understand me, or my parents don't understand my friends. When I was growing up, my father would tell me simply, I know you by your friends. If you're going to stick with the wrong set of people, then obviously you're going down the wrong road. And before I could call anybody a friend, I had to bring them home. My mom and dad met my friends. I grew up in England, and in England during the summer holidays, it's 6 weeks. And my mother didn't want me running off on all these other places. So, you know what she would do? Have your friends come over. She would buy the hamburgers, she would buy the this, she would do this, she will have the pops and the lollipops, but they came to the house so she could see what was going on. Why am I going backwards? I'm just going to go this way. I'm going to go this way. The rebellion in motion. As my friends are, so am I. I smoke grass. I'm a rebel. These are the negative things that are being said. How many years ago when it was us? Oh, those are bad things to say. But the good have become bad and the bad have become good. You seeing the paradox here? Therefore, I am cool. But E jellyflies the fluid in the spinal column for all the sake of looks and feeling. It's easy to fit in. It's easy to do it. So then, what is this blue zone? This is where it starts to hit home more and more now. And we said the number one male suicide, high school dropouts, the young people are on chronic welfare because nobody wants to work. Huh? Chronic unemployment, because they're going to stay up all night, so they need to sleep all day. It's okay. Huh? One in every college or university dropout daily. That's daily. One drops out daily. And what do? Binge drink. So it's not like they're well-rounded alcoholics and only do it here and here. They'll go to a party. They may not have done it for a month or two, but they're going to binge drink. And when they do it, you can't wake them up for a while. This is it, binge drinking. The Bluestone continued, 80% of date rapes happen with what? Alcohol. Because alcohol tends to depress the center, yes? Things that you wouldn't normally say, it's easier said. You just can't hold it. It's like the bullet when it leaves the gun. It's too late when it passes the lips. Number one casual link of wife beating. And there's lots of them in prison. Child abuse, lots of them in prison. And look at birth defects. And the big one they're talking about now would be the fetal alcohol syndrome. There are so many of them, and yet we don't understand the disease. Usually when you're drinking, we know that a mother shouldn't be drinking during pregnancy, but especially during the time where the nervous system is being developed. No two fetal alcohol person is the same. And because it's in your nervous system, it troubles reasoning. So I might be able to sit with you today and we could go through a particular problem. Everybody would get it. And guess what? We wouldn't do the same thing again. The person with fetal alcohol syndrome, you're going to have to, if I've said it 10 times a day, I have to tell them 10 times a day. Because they can't make the connection. It doesn't make sense. Huh? They just can't get it. Alcohol is desensitizing process of violence. The heaviest drinking generation. This is it. This is it. The media's part. The media does play a part. Are we still doing good?
We're 15 minutes left.
15 minutes. I think we've done pretty good. I think we're doing good. Media plays its part. The issue of violence. It's more than punching. All bullies are cowards. And we've seen a lot of it on TV. So why can't I punch my sister? And if I can punch my sister, mom and dad hasn't said anything about it, I'm going to punch my girlfriend. If I'm going to punch my girlfriend, I'm going to punch my wife. And better still, if I've seen mom and dad do it, then that gives me the okay, because that's what I've learned. Getting into the cliques. Your silence allowed it to go on. Remember I said that the government has told these young kids, the 1-800 number, you call us. I know one person had come from another country, and I'm going to call, you go ahead and call. But when they do come, they'll have reason to come for me. Because the Bible tells me, spareth not the rod to spoileth the child. Now, let me correct it for you. The Bible tells us that. But what we've learned because of television is that when we're going to spank our children, we're mad. We're angry. So we go, and it becomes too much. That is violence. And if you're going to spank a child angrily, you deserve to be punished. I'll tell you that now. The relationship for us, say, in the West Indies, we grew up with this, children are to be seen and not heard. So because, you know, in our houses, it weren't these big, big houses, the guests would come, we'd be over here in the corner playing. We'd have our little toys and stuff like that. And if we got a little noisy, it was a simple, and we'd look over, and it was a look. It was a look. We quietened down. In terms of a little spank now, it's a question of, now you know mommy and daddy told you about this. You shouldn't be doing it. That's all it needs. Because now they've hurt the feelings of mommy and daddy. It doesn't have to be this whack, whack, whack. It doesn't have to be. It says your silence has allowed it to go on. Don't want to be called a rat. And when we find out during the week, a rat, the simple three-letter word rat, when said, or if you're called that in a prison, look out. I don't know who the smallest person in here, because I'm not tiny. And if the smallest person, if I call the smallest person a rat in a prison, that even though I would be able to take that person and wipe the ground with them, they have to fight me. Just for that word, rat. Because if he doesn't fight, then everybody else is going to walk all over him. So even though he gets beat up, he's got black eyes and bruised ribs, at least he's held his own. And the other one, in prison, you've got the rat. And the other word is, oh, it slips me right now. Goof! There you go. G-O-O-F. I've been doing prison ministries. I've been in prisons now for 25 years, more than. I still don't know the meaning. It's just the word goof. But if someone calls you a goof or a rat, be prepared. There's got to be a fight. They're going to sharpen up shanks. And a shank is any sharp object that's made from anything. And they're going to fight. They're going to fight it out. That's what it is. Crimes of commission and the crimes of omission. Do you know the difference? Does anybody know the difference? The sins of commission, or the crimes of commission, are the ones that you actually did. You've done it, so you broke the law. But you're equally as bad as breaking the law when you see something and you close your eyes and your ears to it. You're just as bad as the person that perpetrated the beating or the crime.
I heard a slogan the other day. It said, if you permit it, you promote it.
Amen. Did you hear that? I got to write that one down. I like it. I like it. But it's the truth. We're not speaking up. But that's the biggest sin that we have. We can go to the Bible and Jesus gives us a story of the where the priests and the people part. What is he called? Going down. Jesus talks about the Good Samaritan. That is it. Right there, that's it. And we think it only happens in the Bible. Every day we live it. What are we doing about it? In other countries, they say it takes a community to raise a child. Yet, they'll come to church, and if anybody's running up and down, and we say, now, whose mommy and daddy are you? Maybe you should go and sit with... Who gave you the right to talk to my kid? He's minding, mind your own business. This is church. It takes a community to raise a family. It says now, cliques, here we go. Boys, and here it is. Now you know for girls, oh let's go back. For girls, or for women, they can see someone, they can see another woman wearing stuff and they can tell you exactly what that person's wearing. Because women tend to like to cut up other women. But here it is. The boys cut up girls. They demean them sexually. But the girls cut up each other. So it's a double whammy. It's a double whammy. But we're carrying on. The challenge. Are you at fault? Will you take action against the problem? The only person that can make a loser is who? Me. And you. You were born perfect and fear. You're either a part of the problem or a part of the solution. In fact, if you knew, you said the challenge goes on. You are excellent. The Bible says when He created us, it was very, very good. Therefore, bring back moral certainty. This is our world. It's your world. We, this is our generation now, we've let them down. But we still need to break the silence, and we need to be us in the word of the Lord. The challenge continued then is, if you really want to improve, if I really want to improve my situation, I can work one on one thing which I control. Because even when you're married, you don't control each other. When you have children, you don't control them. You'll only control yourself. So, this is the ending of it. So technically what we're learning then is, why is society the way it is now? So now that we begin to understand why, it should give us, it should make us a little bit more compassionate, more patient, to be able to listen and help, rather than then, you're just young and you're just loud, and as we're backing through the door. We need to tell them that we care. When we look in our churches, there's going to be single parents. You could say, well, we would love to have little Jimmy and brothers and sisters as well over, so you can go and do your hair. Maybe you just need a little time for yourself. We would love to do that. Remember, it says it takes a community to raise a child and to raise a family. Because we're supposed to be the family of God. And as I end from this, because God says he doesn't care how he gets you. Whether you're on Skid Row, whether you're in church, whether you're in sheep in another pasture, he doesn't care how he gets you. Even if you're in prison, he doesn't care how he gets you, because he loves you.
We are our
brother's keeper. That's right. One of the other things I'm going to try and speak to, I think it's Pastor Ishmael that does men's ministry for the conference. But one of the things I would love to see come into the churches is a thing called Malachi Dads. You see it here. If you come tomorrow, I'll have more of them to give out. In fact, you can take what's there. There should be enough. But it's teaching men to be the priest of the home. Many of us believe we get married, and the man, I'm the boss. I'm the boss of the home. What I say goes. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that. You're the head of the home, the priest of the home. Life itself, if you'll permit me, is like going on one of these rallies. You know, it's not just going around a circuit, but you got to go around, and you're going to have a driver and a navigator. Both are important if you're going to get to the end of the race. There are times that the driver and the navigator may switch positions. It's okay. But the man is the head of the home, the priest of the home. He sets the tone for the home. If he's not going to church, when you get this other one, the Malachi Dad's Pledge, I'm going to give you each one of those. It will tell you on the back, in a fatherless family, the family is 60%. There's a 60% greater chance that the children are going to become truant, they're going to become disrespectful, they're going to end up in some system, because the father has not stepped up to the plate. So today is the beginning of what is taking place and why we're now doing ministry. Tomorrow when we come back, for those of you who do come back, we're going to be looking at the reason, the justification for the ministry. Is there any questions? You know, there's a lot of things that's coming to the forefront right now. There's a lot of things. Things that we've taken for granted. And it's caused me in the last little while, when all this thing came up, was to go and do a lot of research myself. You know? We can read good books, but guess what? All you need to do is read the Bible. It tells us everything that's there. And so we've got people that will go ahead, included, You know, we go ahead for higher learning, we come out with our doctorates, and then we come out and we say, well, actually, God was really saying this. God does not need, he doesn't need any of us to explain him. He's God all by himself. But as we're finishing, this is something, you know, we do it in the prisons, but as I'm saying, I believe that every men's ministry in every church should have it. And not just our churches. It should be across the board. It should be in YMCAs, everywhere. And one of the things that we encourage them, and listen to the words, it says, as a Malachi dad, I solemnly pledge to glorify God and build his kingdom by prioritizing the raising of godly children, first in my family, then in influencing of other men to do the same in theirs. I firmly believe that my transformed life in Christ, my life of integrity, pursuit of this vision, the pursuit of godly character, will allow me to impact my children, family, and others towards this end. I will practice a life of daily discipline, dependence on God, through prayer and study of God's word, for the wisdom in how to, and here it is, how to nurture my children in the admonition of the Lord. It goes on, I will pursue this endeavor for a lifetime, whether my children are in my home or not. Finally, I believe that my end goal is not only for my children to walk in the Lord, but that this God-given vision would impact multi-generations to come. So help me God. And if you've got inmates saying this twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, and we encourage them to learn it off by heart, my question is, the Bible says, pray without ceasing, read his word. If we're doing these things and we're saying things like this, how can we really go off down the path? But we need to be praying for each other, especially for our young people. I would love to see that the prison gets empty. You know? But the problem is, as we're changing them in the prisons, they could become your neighbors. And if we're not teaching them right, then there's problems to play in the community. Yes? Anyway, thank you so much. If there's any more questions, I can take, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Dario if he can dismiss us with prayer. No questions? Okay. All right.